Good afternoon to you, and as always, a very warm welcome to our midweek ministry here at Gilcombe's Church. It's lovely to have you with us. As always, I hope you'll enjoy sharing with us over the next half hour or so. Summer has certainly arrived. We're glad of that. And over the next couple of months, we do what a lot of people do over the summer months. We are going to be camping. We are going to be camping out in a single chapter of the Bible, and that chapter is Luke chapter 15. It's a very, very fertile part of the Bible, a lovely part to be camping out in. There's loads of stuff for us there to be learning. And it is a chapter of the Bible that is chock full of stories. That's really the essence of Luke chapter 15. It is full of stories. There are five stories, really, in that chapter. Three of them are quite obvious. There are three stories that Jesus told. Two are quite short, and one is slightly longer as the culmination to them. And so you have those three stories to start with that he told. And then there is, of course, as the backdrop to it, his story, the story of his ongoing ministry and the way in which he was conducting that, the people that he was with, and so on. So you factor that story in as well. You've got four stories going on, the ongoing narrative of Jesus, and you're wondering where the fifth story is. And the fifth story, very simply, is your story. You are meant to be part of that story. It's meant to become your story as well. And that's the reason why Jesus told these stories, why we have the Bible, indeed, that it may become your story as well as his story and their story. So I thought we might start by just referencing a book that you might be interested in having a look at. It's a book that's produced by the Good Book Company, and it's called simply Finding More, written by Rico Tice and Rachel Jones. And in many ways, it's not really their story. It's the story of a number of individuals. Here they are.
I grew up in a Hindu family, and there was always the expectation as I was growing up that I would get a successful job.
My partner and I had two kids and two successful businesses, so on the outside it looked like we had it all.
My wife and I had separated, the economy had gone into recession, and I was thrown into this downward spiral of depression and redundancy.
I was wild, I was doing loads of drugs, I was partying all day, and I was making loads of money.
One evening, my friend sent me a text saying, would you like to come to church with us? And I said, yes.
I knew I had to get my life together. And as I was reading this self-help book, I had this strange experience that I couldn't but help tell my Christian colleague about.
My girlfriend started to go to church, came home and told me about this person called Jesus Christ. I thought, nah, leave it at, I'm having none of that.
A friend of mine invited me to go to Christianity Explore, and I was reluctant initially, but eventually, when I went, I was hooked.
As I started reading Matthew's Gospel, it definitely had the ring of truth to it. It just didn't seem like it was made up.
As I read the Bible, it was like it was alive, and it told me that my life was wrong.
My friend asked me, are you ready to accept Jesus in your life? Do you believe that he died for you? And I said yes.
Jesus has given me more joy than I'd ever expected because I don't have to try hard or be good enough.
Jesus has given me more peace when life is hard because I know he's in control.
Jesus has given me more power to change than I would have ever expected.
Well, there you have the book, Finding More, and as it says, stories really of 11 different people, and their constant testimony is simply this, that they met Jesus, they discovered in him more joy, more peace, more power, and sometimes it's just a story that we really benefit from as we learn the way in which God has dealt with an individual. Theirs, of course, are real life stories. And that's the real world that we live in as well. We want to know about real people, real life stories. And the stories in Luke chapter 15 are made up stories. They're not totally out of the frame stories. A story about a lost sheep and a lady who lost some coin, and a man and his two sons. And they are stories that kind of make sense. They resonate with us in terms of our circumstances and so on. And they are real life in that sense. They're just stories that are told by Jesus that are simply stories, but they are told to real people. And told to real people in a particular context. And of course, you don't really get the point of the stories unless you realize the reason for the stories in the first place. And that's how Luke introduces this whole chapter, by giving to us the backdrop to it, the context in which it happens in verses 1 and 2 of Luke chapter 15, which is really what we're just going to spend a little bit of time on today, thinking around. You have the background to it and basically the reason for these stories that he was going to go on and tell. Let me read these two verses to you. I have them on the screen there for you. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Now, in writing that, Luke is actually using a bad word. Not the sort of bad word that we normally associate with the idea of bad words, but he is using a pretty bad word there when he talks about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, that they muttered or they grumbled or they complained. It's a word that has a long history, and almost invariably it is associated with the people who are basically muttering against God. They're grumbling against God. It's the word that would be used about the people of Israel way back in the book of Exodus, who no sooner had God delivered them out of the land of Egypt and out of slavery and done amazing things among them, then they were muttering again. They were grumbling, complaining that this wasn't right and that wasn't right, and they didn't have what they were looking for, and so on. It has a bad history, and here the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they were very devout, they were very religious, and very respectable, the teachers of the law, they were muttering, they were complaining against God. And yet the complaint that they have, that is expressed very simply, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them," as in, if the guy came from God, surely he shouldn't be doing that. He would know who they were. He should understand that you don't associate with people like that, because they are bad, they are dirty, they are tainted in all sorts of ways, and therefore you don't want to be alongside them and be infected by them in one way or another. So you avoid them. How come this man is doing this, eating with sinners? He welcomes sinners and eats with them. And their complaint is actually the content of the gospel. In a sense, as Jesus hears the Pharisees and teachers of the law muttering away under their breath like that, he's basically saying, thank you very much for explaining the gospel to them, explaining what the gospel is, because that is the good news. And the good news is one that incorporates us all. I want to play you a song in just a moment or two that has as a part of its lyrics these words: there is good news for the captive, good news for the shamed. There is good news for the one who walked away. There is good news for the doubter, the one religion failed, for the good Lord has come to seek and save. It's a great song by Rend Collective called simply "The Rescuer." And it's exactly this: good news for the captive, for the shamed, for the doubter, for you and for me. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Let's have a listen to the song. Well, I guess Luke was maybe never on a tract or anything like that, but basically he would sing the same song. He'd be part of that band. He'd be sending out that same message. Jesus is our rescuer. And that really is the reason why he wrote his whole account of the life and ministry of Jesus, and why we have Luke chapter 15. Jesus himself wants to make it clear that that's who he is, that he's come as the rescuer. And the essence of the complaint of the Pharisees really spells out what the good news is. And if you've ever wondered really how you can condense the whole Bible into a short sentence or so, then Luke chapter 15, verse 2 is as good a place as any. The essence of that message is simply this. First of all, this man. It's all about this man, Jesus. The whole Bible is pointing you to him, the real Jesus who came into this world. We learn about him. We know about him, the most documented man in ancient history. It's not that we're unfamiliar with him, not that we're ignorant of him. There's a whole load of stuff about him, and we get to know him and meet with him, this man. It is all about him, who he is, what he's done, why he matters, and the Bible is simply chock full about him. The focus is on him. Not simply as an historical figure from way back in the past, but someone who is now risen from the dead, remarkably so, but unambiguously so, risen from the dead, alive today, and someone that we may know, an astonishing individual in terms of what he taught, in terms of what he did, in terms of the way that he lived, in terms of the way that he related to people, engaged with people, right across the spectrum of humanity, the way in which he changed people's lives, changed people's circumstances, the impact that he had, the claims that he made, and the lasting legacy that he has brought, the death indeed that he died, that astonishing, awkward, dreadful death that he died upon the cross and buried after that, and then rising again from the dead, quite astounding, and commended to us as the one who is indeed risen, alive, and still doing what he does best, which is rescuing people, coming to seek and to save the lost. And that's what lies behind this story, and that's why the complaint of the Pharisees actually just puts their finger on exactly what the good news of the Bible is. It is about this man. That's the first thing. Second thing is that he welcomes. The whole Bible, in a sense, is God simply opening his arms to us in a warm welcome, providing for us in Jesus a means by which no matter who we are, or what we've done, or what our background is, no matter who we are, there is that way of access to him whereby all that has tainted our lives and muddied our lives is simply removed from us and washed away from us. There is the reality of forgiveness. We come to know and enjoy a new relationship with the living God. God's open arms to us, extended to us on the cross of his Son, where he takes our place on that cross, bears the consequences of our wrongdoing, our failure, our waywardness, and deals with it entirely, so that there is now nothing that stands against us, nothing that can be pinned against us, no condemnation at all that we may fear. We are welcomed by the living God through Jesus. This man welcomes, and it is good for us to be reminded of that. That is the essence of the good news. God welcoming us into his family, God welcoming us into his home, that we may know the security and the dignity of being part of that family, enjoying the shelter of his home and knowing him like that. This man welcomes sinners. That's the astounding thing that the Pharisees could not get their head around, because their whole way of thinking was conditioned by the view that in order to get right with God, you had to do right by him. And sinners, by definition, are those who've not done right by God, those who have gone astray, those who've done their own thing, those who have ignored and neglected and disobeyed the word of God and the will of God and the law of God. They have gone off track and they have messed up good and proper. And surely, therefore, the Pharisees thought, surely, therefore, those who are living at such a distance from the living God, whose ways are so departed from the ways of God, surely they are the last people that could be welcomed. And yet the remarkable thing about the good news is this, that no matter how far astray you may have gone, no matter how often you may have fallen and failed, no matter how flawed you may be, no matter how tainted your testimony may be, There is that way back. There is that forgiveness. There is that opportunity for us to enjoy a new relationship with the living God, because that's really what this is all about. It is about our enjoying that relationship with the living God. Jesus welcomes sinners, eats with them in order that they may indeed know that relationship with him, as their friend, as the one who will be with them, the one who will travel with them, the one who will teach them, the one who will encourage them, the one who will support them, strengthen them, be there for them in all their circumstances. Good news indeed. Good news for the captive, good news for the shamed, good news for the weary, good news for the doubter, good news for the one religion has failed. This man welcomes sinners. Now, you're maybe sitting there thinking, you know, Luke chapter 15, all about stories. I haven't really heard a story other than the fact that there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law who were muttering and complaining under their breath about the way that Jesus conducted himself. So let me end with a story before we have a prayer, an opportunity for us really just to take stock of our own lives. And then I want just to round off in a famous, well-known and powerful hymn. But a story, first of all. You'll see here that the Pharisees muttered under their breath, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." I want to tell you a story about a lady called Edith. A true story. It's not a lady that I know, but this is a story that was passed on to me by a preacher whom I know. And he spoke about this lady, Edith, who was anything but religious. She really didn't have the time for church, could not see the point, had no interest at all, and the way in which her life was lived was diametrically opposite to the call of God and the truth of the scriptures. Like a lot of people, she still struggled a little bit in life. There were times when she got a little bit downcast. Things got on top of her. Things happened in her world. Things happened in the big wide world that left her a little bit confused, a little bit distressed, and sometimes just a little bit of a loose end, wondering where her life was going, what it was accomplishing, what it was all about. And one Sunday morning, in that sort of condition, with nothing better to do, she just decided she would go into the local church just near to where she stayed. And so she did. And it was a fairly typical old-looking church. And the preacher was a fairly typical old-looking individual dressed all in black and white collar around his neck and things like that. And he announced his text. And it was from Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And as often the case, he was reading from the old version of the Bible, the King James version of the Bible, which is about 4 or 5 centuries old now, and just a whole different way of speaking that they had then, and even trying to understand what the English means from 5 centuries ago is sometimes hard enough for people. But he was reading from that particular version of the Bible on that occasion, and she listened to what was being said, and verses 1 and 2 in the authorized version, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." That's what he read. What she heard was, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And she just sat straight up in her seat, because she hadn't realized that she was actually in the text. "This man, Jesus, receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And that was a revelation to her. That was how she became a Christian, because she misheard the reading of the scripture on that day from the old version of the Bible in an old building in an old man's testimony there as he read the scripture. She misheard what was being said, but in mishearing, actually heard the gospel itself. Edith with them. Yes, you're included as well. It doesn't matter that you've been so wayward. It doesn't matter that you've been so rebellious. It doesn't matter that you've been so stubborn. It doesn't matter that you've been so disinterested, Edith. You too, you're welcome. And that's the good news, no matter who you are. Whether you're Edith, whether you're Tom, you're Dick, Harry, or anyone else, it really doesn't matter what you've done, who you are. This man, Jesus, welcomes you and is glad to eat with you, welcome you into his family, and to bring you into that new relationship with God. Let me just join with you in taking a moment to pray, and then we'll move from that into a final praise that celebrates just this, where the writer rejoices in that. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for this good news, and it really is the best of news to know that this Jesus, risen, alive, still doing what he always does, namely rescuing people, that he welcomes gladly people who have gone way off beam, those who've gone right off the rails. Thank you that in him, with him, through him, there is that new life opened up to us, a new relationship with yourself, the reality of forgiveness, the empowering of your spirit, and a whole new life and a whole new future opened up before us. Would you help us to know that, like Edith, we're also included? And would you help us simply to take that next step, if we've never taken it before, and say, Jesus, I'm yours. Count me in. I'm glad to be part of that band that follows you, and take me on from here. And we ask it for your own name's sake. Amen.